Sup?
Hey.
Don't trip, y'all.
It's just us.
Hey, don't trip.
Got you.
Hey, everybody. This is Stacia.
This is number one Beyonce fan, Leslie.
And it's eBay here. What to do?
With our special guest,
Amina. Hey, guys. AKA Aminata, AKA your favorite engineer.
Ooh. I know that's right. I know that's right. And I know this is Don't Trip, It's Just Us.
Yep. For sure.
We back.
We're
here again.
Ooh, we back ooh, and we black.
Hey. Twice late because we are black.
Yeah, but we are black.
All right. So it's time to get into the news you're not forced to hear, but the news you want to hear, or the news you want to hear because you're not forced to hear it. Or some news you heard, but you might not have heard, but you might have thought you heard. Anyways, guys, it's great news.
It's great news.
Yes. So let's get into it. A lot has happened in a month. Almost too much. It feels like, you know, you get hit by a car a few times and you stand up and pow, it just comes right back. It just circles the block.
Right.
But, you know, we're here. We haven't done you guys like Burna Boy and gave y'all last child. We are still here. We're still together.
Another song that has me firmly in the chokehold.
You heard that? Yeah. That's the choke.
Call me Burna Girl.
For the rest of the episode, Leslie is now Burna Girl. Oh, please.
Okay, baddies. Baddies. Baddies.
All right. So let us get started because the topics are out here, child. First thing I wanted to chit-chat about is something that occurred nearby, not too far. A New Jersey councilwoman was accused of hitting a cyclist and driving off and refuses calls to resign from her position. I'd like to start this piece off by why New Jersey is the roughest place to drive. I normally start my day off with eggs. Here they start with a shot of Hennessy and Tupac, Ambitions of a Rider.
Yep.
And
an attempted murder, apparently.
Oh,
yep.
I have lived here long enough to know that this place does not care. I have seen hit and runs. I have seen side swipes. I have seen people I've seen people arguing down the road for over 30 minutes out the window while driving, and no care in the world. Now, do not get me wrong. Like, people's driving is pretty rough in Houston. Like, Houston has a road rage problem.
Oh, yeah.
But I've just never seen open, like, I literally watched a man lay down in front of a hospital while his car door was open because somebody got out to fight him or hit him, and they just kept driving. And the fact that it was in front of the hospital and the ambulance, nobody came out. Regular pedestrians had to come out and help him. And I just was on the bus like, damn, this is...
I mean, that's actually responsible. Like, if you will beat somebody's ass, at least be somewhere where people can attend to you, you know, like stitch them up. Like,
nobody, you know? The house, it was two hospitals right on the same street, and no one was at the civilians and patrons of this community were outside saying, what a shame. What a goddamn shame. And then they're the ones who attended to him first. But like, to know that it has gone up the totem pole to a councilwoman lets me know that people are just on another level. But you know, let's dig in to the story because I'm sure there's more, because there's always more, right?
When he sent the link, I watched the video and I audibly gasped because of how, like, she was going like full speed, no hesitation.
Yep.
Yep.
Gone about her life. And this dude is like on the ground.
Just gone.
I blame social
like
media.
She, and I'm laughing. It's not funny, but I'm laughing because of the lies. She's claiming that she had the green light.
Nice.
There's nothing. Hit somebody. This is a white lady, right?
No. What the host said, she was listening to the green light by John Legend. That's what her ass was. She was distracted. Her ass was distracted listening to that shit. That's what the fuck she was. I got the green light. That's what she was listening to.
But the audacity that you have to hit somebody and be
in
like,
her Murano,
well,
child. In
I'm not
her
quitting
Murano.
My job. But like, you're hitting your public. You're literally running down your public. The voting man.
I also want to say, also to Aminata's point of the video, did you see that it happened on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard? I feel like he would not stand or sit for what occurred on his block, personally.
Right.
Personally.
I mean, he wasn't treated, you know, badly by the color of his skin. So, I mean, so progress, I mean, you know, or the, you know, like it was an equal opportunity to me, I think. Like, she just ran over somebody, but yeah, I mean, at least it wasn't targeted. So, I mean, I guess that's progress. I know I'm not supposed to make it light out of this situation. However, it didn't seem like it was racially motivated. So I say that's a win in Martin Luther King's book for me.
That's so bad.
You know?
So she is refusing to step down. And there is a GoFundMe for anybody who, not a GoFundMe, there is a, what's the thing with the signatures? Oh, what's
a petition, a petition
yeah,
to get her ass up out of
there. There is a live petition going on for anybody who wants to take matters into their own hands, who wants to, you know, from mountaintops to mountaintops, I feel that every boy and girl can come together and sign this petition for a couple
of
reasons.
I love that you brought it back to Martin Luther King. I love it. See, I love the connections. You brought it back to Martin Luther King. I see what you did. Every boy and every girl of every color can
every
sign
color.
This petition.
Hold it from Steve to sign a she.
Hello. Get her ass up out of here.
I'm happy the cyclist left with a limp. 50 Cent also had a limp, but he all right if you get the reference.
You stupid.
I'll see
you. Excellent song. Shout out to Mini Men.
I'm happy the cyclist was all right, was able to walk away. And as
is
per
he
Amy,
okay? Because he has all those medical bills that he now has to pay.
The way I would have been on the ground and faking, like I'm getting that.
He got up. He got up. She really is lucky that she hit who she hit. Because let me tell you something. Had she hit anybody from the continent of Africa, this would have been a totally different scenario. Oh my God. I did not feel the neck pain until I stood up and I laid back down. Sir, it shows that you are walking away. I said I laid down.
Oh my God, my voice is gone. I can't talk.
It would have been like them Nigerian movies where you see when he gets shot and he's like, he break dancing.
Over here, put it.
He spit on his head and shit.
I will be suing the whole council team for my injuries that was contained. You know, Africans are going to use every big word they can find on national television.
Exactly.
I did not see her, but she saw me.
It was a miscarriage of justice.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, I would tell y'all to stay safe and stay dangerous. I'm just happy that the cyclist was wearing his helmet.
Stay dangerous. Which side?
Thank God.
The car is dangerous.
I mean, but you gotta be, you know, like be on alert, like stay dangerous just in case you gotta pop off. So
yeah.
I do agree.
What
like,
if
you
he
know,
hopped
just
off
case...
the bike and threw a rock at her?
Right.
Staying dangerous.
There you go. Just... she would have been able to, you know.
I mean, my thing is she just like I'm about to say, she just drove through that light so damn smooth in her Murano, y'all. I would have got, if I did hop up, I would, you know, I could see me hopping up, getting on my bike and trying to like cycle after her. And then like, even if I got to her house, just laying dead in her driveway, just playing dead in the driveway.
Dacia, you're a metal bender. You jumping over cars and shit. Like, you know, that's a callback if you haven't seen the episode, but yeah, listen to that episode. But yeah, like you're a metal bender. Your ass can jump. You are a whole Olympian when it comes to danger. So
that's only under certain happy hour and brunch circumstances.
See, somebody else, he didn't have it.
He didn't have that. He didn't have that opportunity because he saw freedom. And I'm going to stop there because there's only
there
so
go,
many
Martin.
Martin Luther King.
Come on, you're okay.
Well, hopefully he is okay, and hopefully he gets justice. Jesus. Stay safe out there. Once again, New Jersey is a crazy place to drive.
Brick City.
And it doesn't get any better than that. So we're going to push on.
To glory. Actually push all to glory.
Glory. Let's talk about how Glory was a great movie. Okay.
It was.
That being stated, we are going to transition to our final segment where we get a chance to chat with our special guest, Aminata.
Woo! Woo, woo, woo,
woo. Hi.
Amina, if you know her, if you know all the secret stuff she does. But just to give a brief background of my friend, or someone I consider one of my best friends, or just my best friend, that I have known since, what, the sixth grade? Since I've known since the sixth grade. Yeah, A-Leaf. Aminata is a graduate of the Texas Southern University.
Wait, you forgot. The illustrious.
The illustrious Tejas, Texas Southern University. In addition to that, she is an engineer, and she's also on the board at Texas Southern. She has worked overseas in the Netherlands in oil and gas and engineering, and she is currently at Amazon doing project management. She is a scents enthusiast. That means she likes perfume, y'all. And then YouTube creator, influencer, if you know her like I know her. And big sister, as well as all around great person who has traveled for work for up to what? How many years has it been since you've been traveling for work? She has.
Since 2016.
Since 2016. Okay. And we're not just talking about national travel. We're talking about international travel. Scotland, the Netherlands. Woo. I don't think you ever went to the UK. In addition to that, you've traveled to Chicago for sure, Las Vegas. You've been everywhere in my brain, just the world. So not only has she done international work, you guys, by being an international engineer, she's also worked nationally, or as they call it in the engineering world, what is it? Offshore? What's it called? In overseas offshore? And then there's people who are like,
offshore.
Then there's people who are local or who are not like national, but they're not offshore. Dubai, Abu Dhabi, listen, the list goes on of the places she has traveled. So let's get down to business. Hey,
to defeat the Hun. Sorry,
that's a whole new song.
It was a mashup. Sorry,
he said it was a mashup. Come on, dubstep.
I thought it was Mulan. We were doing Mulan. Let's get down to business to defeat the Hun. Sorry.
Oh man. So everybody, welcome Aminata. Hey,
Aminata. Woo, woo, woo.
I know that's right.
Happy to be here. Thank you.
So we're going to get into it. We're going to ask her a few questions, then do a quick lightning round. And then, yeah, let's go. So one of the things I wanted to ask, I wanted us to kind of focus this conversation, and we can go wherever we need to go, but on being a female and having a job that requires traveling. Because life is different, you know, when you're younger, it's like 25 and you're traveling, you're living your best life, right? But as you get older, like, what does that look like? And kind of what does it look like being a female, like kind of in the offshore space? So kind of just being a female and traveling and being in the offshore space and industry. So my first question to you is kind of like, what was the best and what was the hardest part of being having a role where you were just traveling all the time, or where you have a role where you're traveling constantly?
Yeah, that's a good question. So one of the best things was just the experience, right? You get to meet different people from all over the world. You get to work in just random places. The experience is very unique. The benefits are great. So when you're on flights, you get your points, you're in hotels, you get your points, and you can use that later on for free stuff in the future. Another thing that I really liked about it is just kind of the exposure to different cultures as well, and using that as an opportunity to learn about different cultures and different people. from all over the place. So I would say it's mostly just the interactions with people is the most positive aspect of working offshore. When I do negative, there's a lot because it is difficult. But one of the main things that I can think about is, for example, like you're always moving around. You never really have a home, right? You're just kind of living out of your bag. You're not able to make, you know, meaningful connections with people, like long-term relationships and things like that. So I feel like a big chunk of my life while I was working offshore, I lost a lot of just time that I could have been investing in important relationships.
Mm-hmm. Papa was Rolling Stone, so was Mama.
Yep.
That's how you exactly. you out here living like you were, what's it called? You on tour. Like I'm not a she out here. Get a flute out, doing stuff. I mean, okay, business woman.
It's nice, but it can get
exhausting at times. Yeah,
yeah,
got it
for sure.
That's what's up. That's what's up. I can only imagine.
Awesome. That's a really great point, though. Kind of like always packing up and being on the road. And I know me. After a certain amount of time, I'd be ready to go home. You know, everybody got that look where it's like, let's go round up the kids. But when you are in positions where you are constantly traveling, like I was going to ask, how in control of you are you in that? When do we get to go home? Let's wrap it up. Like how I would say, I know you traveled in the engineering realm and I know you travel now for your current position as project manager. So could you kind of like explain the difference, like, just the control aspect of when you get to go home and call it quits?
Yeah, I think it really depends. So I would have to separate it from like within the US and outside of the US. So when I was outside of the US, of course, I had a quote unquote home, which would be where I stay at when I am not working offshore. So in certain areas, you can only work, you know, a certain amount of time, and then you have to have a minimum amount of time at home, but that's not really home, right? So really I had the freedom to come back home, where home is Houston, as much as I would want, but me personally, I would, strategize it. If I'm gonna be on a 9-hour flight to come back to the US, I'm not gonna just be here for a weekend. I wanna be here for like, you know, a whole month, 2-3 weeks, you know, just so I can really relax and enjoy my family, maybe do some traveling within the US. So as far as control how often I would go home, I feel like I had full autonomy on that for sure. But what I would do was maybe come home once, maybe twice a year and stay a long, you know, period of time, especially if I don't have anything else planned. Over here in the US traveling, it's also nice because it depends on how many projects I have, obviously. Where these projects are. So sometimes I can be away for 3 days, a week, but I know for sure the weekends are my time. So I'll make sure that I either hop on a flight Thursday night or Thursday evening or Friday morning so that I'm home. I can stay, sleep in my own bed Friday night and have the weekend at home with my family. So I feel like I do have a lot of control as far as how often I can come home while traveling. But also, I think it depends on the role in the company you're with too, how flexible they are.
Nice. No, I already know me. I'd be asleep half the, like, I'm thinking if I was like in your shoes, I would just be asleep half the time and then the other half the time trying to work.
Look, I'm not gonna lie, being on the road a lot, you learn how to like fall asleep instantaneously. As soon as I hop on a flight, because you work long days, you're tired. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that flight is the best time to just go to sleep. So as soon as I put my seatbelt on, I don't even wait for the safety, you know, shift or anything. I put my headphones in, make sure my noise canceling is on, and pass out. And then I wake up when we land, and then I'm off to wherever
See,
I'm going.
You and I are opposites, because I could never sleep on planes or cars or anything. I'm the worst at sleeping on like public or anything that's moving, like transportation. So it's so weird. I could never sleep at all. Like, you're gonna have to like literally drug me, like, for me to fall asleep. But so you are. I always envy people who can fall asleep on, like, my brother's good at that. Like, fall asleep in cars.
fall asleep in planes. Like, I always envy people like that. I don't know. This is crazy.
To be honest, it took me some training because I was the same way. I can't get comfortable in the seat. You know, people are touching me or elbowing me or whatever. But I had to basically train myself. Anytime that I can get some sleep, I'm taking it.
I know that's right.
Wise words, wise words.
Look at me. I know that's right. Because let me tell you something. After I get that mimosa on them flights, I presume, though, like, that you have to, between the jet lag and everything in between, like, what? Especially if you're going into just, like, international or just crazy areas. Jesus.
Absolutely. Like,
and I couldn't go to sleep immediately. I'm that paranoid Patty on the plane that's got to read the whole brochure and find out where all the exits are. Just Hello? In case somebody tries me. Same then here. I can go to sleep. So I can, so I can, like,
I'm over here looking. I'm like, who's the undercover court marshal in the air? Like, I'm looking at all this stuff.
After you watch Manifest one time, oh, you gonna read that brochure. You gonna read the hell out of that brochure. You gonna read the hell out of that brochure. Wait a minute. Where's the exit? Though, huh?
Another benefit to, like, falling asleep right away is that you avoid small talk right away. Because sometimes, especially on long flights, the person next to you wants to learn everything about you and what do you do, what's your favorite color, and I'm like, dude, I don't have time for that. So as soon as I sit, I get a window seat, headphones, and close, even if I'm faking it, close my eyes. That way, it's like I'm not open to conversation. Well, that's just me personally. I mean, if you are, that's cool, but for a 9-hour flight, no, I'm good.
Then you gonna wake up to somebody staring at you. Oh, you're just so pretty. You sleep. You better.
Hello, friend. Hello, Clarice.
You better make them connections. You know.
I mean, but, like, to an extent, like, chatting on a plane is cool until it's not cool anymore. Like, you can only chat with an 8-year-old. I used to fly, like, as a kid by myself, and respectfully, I don't know how I could talk about nothing, but those poor people who didn't want to hear me talk about nothing, like, oh God, you, like, it only goes, so, small talk only goes so far until someone pulls a book out or puts their, you know, their AirPod back in, and you're still like, yeah, because when I was 8, like, I don't know, I feel like you can, like, trap people to talking to you longer than you want them to.
Well, yeah. I wonder if somebody's gonna be bold enough to, like, pull out as I was saying. Like, they pull that shit out your ear. Like, I'm exactly. Not done talking to your ass. Y'all gonna deal with some crazy.
You're like
people
sliding
on this
your headphone back on. And another thing.
Wait. Oh, wait. Hold on.
Wait, one second.
But let me take that out real quick. Yeah.
Like I said, right? Like I was saying.
So what I was saying, you should get the fish instead of the chicken on these planes. Like, because
it's real. I will say random, just out of the blue. When I was on my flight to London, me and the guy chatted the whole way, and I've been shushed before because our conversation was a little unconventional. Though it was taking all the might in me not to shush that woman back, but I feel like there's like an unwritten rule that you don't talk to the people who are sitting in front of you, like in the row in front of you. I don't know if you guys have ever done that, but
I've
never spoken to the people in front of me. Like, and I've never, when you're getting, like, just when you're sitting, that feels awkward. There's no eye contact.
Yeah, I know
that person's
mean.
Facing forward. Like, I have nothing, we have nothing to talk about, Mark in 25B, because I am in 26C. So,
right.
But that's, like, it's crazy, unless it's kids or something that's in between you guys. So,
right.
I'm going to keep on trekking. So I wanted to know, being a female in the industry, or being a female in the engineering industry and in your current industry, do you see a lot of women doing these jobs that have to do with a ton of travel? I feel like when we were all growing up, like, they, you know, we were looking, you know, desperately, or companies were looking desperately for women in engineering or women to get into petroleum, you know, and it comes with a lot of demand. So I always wonder, like, do you see a lot of your counterparts in general, you know, in just traveling in these positions, let alone in the engineering realm?
Yeah, well, when I did work offshore, there were rarely any women. I know the company that I worked for had this whole like pledge to have 50% women in the field by like 20, whatever. I can't remember what the year was, but even though we did have, you know, I would say maybe 20% women on our team, when I would actually go offshore, I would be mostly the only person in the engineering field, because they do have like, what you call it, the catering team. And I have been mistaken for a member of the catering team once when I was going offshore, and I was a little bit offended. I was a little bit offended. It's like, oh, I'm wearing boots and hard hats just like you, my guy, you know? So it really, it's really a thing. But then the thing is, when you do see a fellow, you know, female out there in the field, then it's like, you know, that you guys have that connection right away. And for me personally, it's only happened a couple times, but I remember one specific trip where I met another Black woman, and we became best friends after working with each other for a day.
She became your second and it was, best friend.
My second best friend. She was from Trinidad, but she went to school in the UK. So she was studying geology or something. So she got her way offshore, and it was just nice to kind of connect with someone on a deeper level than just like professionalism, right? Because we're around the same age, we listen to the same music, we grew up around the same things, especially she comes from a Caribbean background, which is not that different from an African background. So that was major for me. And that's only happened once in my 4 years of working offshore. You'll see, you know, Caucasian women or Asian women, but it was very, very rare. With now I'm with Amazon, and I feel like it's a lot different because I work with a lot of women that work, you know, on the site, which is a huge, you know, difference than when I was working in oil and gas. So oil and gas is still not that many women, but I think in other engineering realms, you do find them more often, and also traveling roles as well.
Nice. But they say, like, you know, it's not a lot of women. But when you forgot the question, they said it's not a lot of women. No, but that's awesome that you were able to like link up with somebody, because I was just gonna say, like, finding women and even finding women of color is not easy. Like, I'm pretty sure when you're offshore, child, trying to find you some Cantu or some shea butter for your elbows, or people who even understand. You know how to get you some nice argan or avocado oil so you don't have split ends is probably a struggle, because the guys really don't identify. So the fact that it, like, you can at least find somebody that can give you that look when somebody makes a crazy ass remark, I'm sure that's comforting. But it also just shows kind of the, I don't want to say the lack, but the, you know, the lack of depth of our representation in that industry. And now I see like why they were begging for women in that industry, and to a point where if you have over a 3.0 in college, or your chances of getting a scholarship or doing co-op are high, because they really are lacking representation. But this is like a first to our listeners, this is a first-hand account of what you're gonna see. You know, don't go off the shore thinking you're about to go to a curls convention, child, because that is not
Far from it.
Sponsored by Shea Moisture. It is not gonna be.
You're stupid.
Not gonna be that. And I'm sure, like, for you, like, I don't want to say it was a harsh reality or a culture shock, but I wonder, like, do they prepare you? Is there anything that prepares you for that?
Not really, to be honest. I would say the one thing that, you know, you and I, we went to school in A-Leaf, and it was an extremely diverse place, which I think prepares any student, any, you know, young adults to be put in a situation where they can kind of thrive into, you know, in any kind of environment. So I feel like having that background did help. I mean, these people weren't, I will say the people on the rig were also diverse, but just not a different kind of diverse, right? So you have people from like the Middle East, from different parts of Europe, people from Africa as well. A lot of African men were there. Well, not a lot, but you'd find them every now and then. So at the beginning, I did feel very uncomfortable and really awkward, especially because when you'd walk in, everyone looks at you and you know why they're looking at you. Everyone's like, oh shit.
Because you're fine, that's why.
Well, I don't know if it was just that, but it's like, wait, a woman, oh, and a black woman is here as an engineer? Like, that's weird. So, you know, it took a little bit of getting used to, but I think because of, you know, the environment that I grew up in kind of helped me mitigate those, you know, uncomfortable feelings, because I'm like, okay, well, this person's just not aware. So let me at least just be myself and have them get to know me. And after some time, especially if you're going to the same work site over and over again, it doesn't matter at the end of the day. But yeah, it would have been nice, honestly, just to see more faces that look like mine.
Yeah, I can only imagine the amount of like microaggressions or things that you had to experience, and, like, just being a woman and being a black woman. So yeah, kudos to you for being like in that room, because, you know, women in general, just like black people in general, we need to be in all spaces. So I feel like that's important, like that. And I'm glad that you're taking up space in that way. So that's what's up. That's dope. See, they're gonna make a Barbie doll out of you. Like, keep it up.
Let's see.
And I'm gonna steal it from an Amazon package. Like, I'm gonna steal it from that package. Sure, oh, am.
So I would.
Hey, when I find a way, I'll let you know.
Yeah, let me know how to get the packages, bro. Like, without getting caught.
That's hilarious. So, like, I want to kind of deviate. I think we got probably two or three more questions. I just want to deviate into kind of your role. I don't know if you have a big role on the board for TSU, because I know you're constantly busy. But what was that like figuring out, hey, we want you to come back here and do something big? What was it like getting the news from TSU that you were on their board?
Honestly, I was shook. And I Shivers. Think Stacia, we've talked about this. Yeah, a lot of them. Talk about, you know, imposter syndrome. I'm like, me? Like, why me? I haven't done that much. I just graduated not that long ago. Like, why are you choosing me? This is weird. I'm on this panel of PhDs and engineers who have been practicing for, like, you know, 20, 30 years. So at the beginning, I was like, this is weird. Like, why are y'all choosing me? I should find someone way more qualified than me. And then I had to take a step back and say, okay, well, you know, I have unique experiences as a former civil engineering student at TSU. So maybe I can provide a different point of view. Also, yeah, I'm badass. You know, let me accept the fact that, yeah, I've accomplished great things in my life and I should be proud of that. And I know a lot of us, especially Black women, do suffer from imposter syndromes at times, especially in a professional setting. Yeah, it's me too. And I battle it, like, literally every single day at work. You know, when I get recognized for something, I'm like, well, are they just saying that because of this, or is it really because, you know, I did a good job? It's like, no, it's because you did a good job. And I think that's important for all of us to think about.
Awesome. I'm trying to think. eBay, do you have any more questions? Because I'm getting ready to get going on another one.
Other than how to steal those packages, I just want to know, in terms of, no, just in general, how did you fall in love, or how did you get into your position or your field of work? Is it something that you studied, like, that you always knew you wanted to do? And how did you get that specific job? You know, how can you let people know how you can be traveling around the world and getting flued out by your company? Like, there you go.
Well, I guess for me, it's a little bit different, because I never thought I'd, you know, do anything like that. It was just a matter of, this is a great opportunity that came up. And I thought, hey, I'm young, I'm not married, I don't have kids, why not? The pay is pretty good. You know, it's not going to be a permanent thing. I don't want it to be a permanent thing, because, you know, at some point I do want to settle down and, you know, establish some roots, start a family. But I think it just happened to be a case of, you know, patience, because I remember before I got the job working offshore, I graduated and I'm was meaning to go to grad school, but family issues, I had to find a job instead. So I didn't get a job until months after graduation. And I was looking at my peers, because all of them graduated with a job offer, And if I felt really bad and I was really sad for a really long time, same. But I kept applying, and not only applying in where I felt I was qualified, but also applying to places where, you know, it did it
beneath
wasn't,
your it, level. Yep. Same
exactly.
here.
Yeah, same here. Exactly. And I'm sure there's going to be something that a recruiter is going to see value, you know, and they're going to want you. Even if you don't see it in yourself, just apply everywhere. Don't limit yourself to, you know, something specific that you studied. For example, I studied civil engineering, but I wasn't doing civil engineering offshore. So as long as you're able to learn a degree, having a degree shows that, hey, this person's smart. They can learn, they can be trained, they can listen, they can grow, they can come up with great ideas. And that's really all it takes. It's just patience. Don't limit yourself. Just, you know, try. Just even if you think like, okay, this job requires a master's degree, but I only have a bachelor's degree, so I'm not going to apply. No, still apply, because there's a lot more, that, you know, of what they're looking for than what they put on that job posting, you know?
Agreed. And they don't really always put everything on job postings. And
facts.
I actually saw one great post where the girl was like, when you get one, when you accept the job offer, but the roles and the expectations of the position change.
Yep.
Oh my God.
I was like,
We're going to be making some changes and some cuts. So we're going to like be, you know, consolidating some roles, putting things together. Mm-hmm. I'm like, the fuck you are. Maybe your job.
It's like that sometimes. Yeah.
Hello. And I think that's amazing. So I want to just talk about the social aspect also of like the traveling. I think you hit on it earlier in the first question when you talked about kind of meeting new people and then having to step away. How does being, well, I would say as African women, okay? As women, you know, we are expected to conquer the world with no prerequisites and no pre-advice. go to school. Where's your husband? You know, that's the transition, right? Fetch your books. Why do you not have a family? Oh my God, you have failed, right? So I would... That's why I said we are expected to conquer the world with like no prerequisites, no pre anything. You know, when people work out, they're like, oh, I took a pre-workout. Ha! For what? You are facing your books. So I wanted to know, like, how does this affect your love life? Because I know I have a few other friends who were engineers or who did work traveling jobs who have really had to take in consideration what happens when I start a family. I've had one friend go from kind of working offshore to take in a similar but a position in a different department of the same company because she can actually
go home and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, go home and take care, because her significant other is also in the same field. So I wanted to know kind of like, A, what is your approach to that, and B, do you think it's harder for women than men?
Girl, I'm still trying to figure that out myself.
Listen,
I am still single.
I know, single, so. Lancetian. Come on, Yemi Alade taught us.
Yeah, but I think it's, you know, about what you're willing to compromise, right? I think me personally, I haven't been willing to compromise that much, but then again, I also think in my personal experience that I haven't found anyone that I'm willing to make that compromise for. Because when you're in your career, of course, like you have big dreams and you have all these ambitions and all these goals, but then you meet someone, you're like, okay, so this traveling gig is not going to cut it. You know, do I want to switch to something for the benefit of this relationship? I don't think I've gotten there yet, but I think it's something that you should consider as a woman working, you know, in the field or traveling a lot. Because, I mean, I guess it depends on your relationship dynamic, but a lot of the times when you're traveling that much, it's not that great for a relationship. Right. I do think that it, in some cases, it can be easier for a man, just because, like, since the dawn of time, you know,
right,
men have always traveled, and, you know, they're the ones who are out in the office.
Where he put his hat. That was his home.
Yep. Exactly. Yep, he Rolling Stone. She Rolling Stone.
I don't need a hotel. So I have Shakisha.
Oh my God.
She got Shakir. That's what you got. I'm in Dubai with Shakir. That's what's up.
No hotel for me.
I wish. Yeah, but yeah, I think it's just kind of normalized for men to kind of live that lifestyle over women. And I think a lot of people aren't really comfortable with the fact of being with a woman that is constantly on the road. So I get it. I understand that it's kind of a double standard. But for me personally, I have to meet someone that I feel is worth, you know, taking that risk with my career, especially if I'm loving my job. If I love traveling and I love being right in that environment, and all of a sudden I'm like, okay, I've met someone and I really want to take it seriously. So I need to, you know, maybe reconsider, like, this is your career. You know what I mean? It could,
yeah,
it could be good or it could go bad. You never know, but it has to be for the right person. Can you imagine?
Right.
Like, you're making good money and you're traveling and living your life and you meet someone, you're like, oh my God, I'm in love. We're in love. You know, let me move to an office job or let me move to with a different company, maybe even get a pay cut. Cause a lot of times when you're going from field to office, even with the same company, you're getting a pay cut.
Right.
And then this person is like, oh, actually, this is not working out. And then here you are, depressed in an office role that's not paying you that much.
Right.
I mean, it's a lose-lose for you, you know? So,
right.
I mean, I, you know, it's a risk that you just have to really think about.
Right.
Agreed.
So do you feel like you could date someone who, like, I guess, worked with you? Like, say if you both were traveling together, like, could you possibly, or would you get sick of that person? So like, say if you met Shakir, right? He's working with you, and like, y'all are traveling to these places, y'all go to these conventions together,
what's
y'all
doing Shakir? It.
Y'all out here, you know, like, y'all out here traveling together. Like, is that, would you be willing to date someone who, it, like, I guess, has the same lifestyle as you, like, in terms of, well, you go, are going to be the same places, or would you rather this be your thing and then he has his own other thing, or he can be the stability, like, back at home waiting for you?
I think I'd rather have the latter, because
latter, okay.
You know, let's have our own separate thing, and then when we come together, like, that's our safe haven. We don't have to talk about work, because if you're working with someone, or, you know, in love or in a relationship with someone who's doing the exact same thing, guess what y'all are going to be talking about 24/7? Work.
You're
going to be talking about this.
Right.
So for me, I like to have that separate, you know, that
right.
My
you
work
like,
life,
right.
My personal life. Yeah.
Right. You like to compartmentalize the two. I mean, there are some people who can do that as well. Like when we go home, we don't, like, you know, some people have businesses together, or, you know, some, you know, husbands and wives, or, you know, boyfriend, girlfriends, whatever, but they, you know, make sure that they have that, they keep that at work, or that they keep, you know, certain things. Once they get home, they don't talk about work, or when they're in other spaces, they're not talking about work, or unless if it's for business, or if it's just for whatever they need to do, then they're able to do that. But that's interesting. Some people, you know, they actually like that. Some people do not. Like, so it's really interesting just to pick your brain with that. Some people are like, well, he, you know, this person, you know that person not cheating on you because they with you most of the time, you know, or, you know, some people have different answers for that. So that makes sense that you would want that stability, and you want to, like, separate your work life from your home life. You're like, I'm always like that too. I don't shit where I eat. So, you know, like, you know, I feel, so yeah. So like, I would like that. And I like that, you know, that sacred space for just being about that. And then you having that sacred space with your loved one. Okay. That's cool. That's interesting.
Nah,
thank you for answering.
I was gonna say, but to piggyback off what he said, respectfully, I just don't want to be petty at work. So I think it's best. You said you was taking the trash out, Shamir. Like, you said. See, this is why.
He's going for his meeting. I thought you put my tie in here. Oh.
You
I must
left.
Have forgotten them socks.
I said we can't eat the green smoothies because we're going to be late for the flight. And this is why I don't like working with you. Because, and that, like, Mark, they're at it again by the water cooler. I don't want to be that.
Say she's going to be like, Shakir, and I never liked your mama. I never liked your mama, Shakir.
And go pick up my paper from the printing machine. No, like,
everybody at work gonna know. They're like, oh god, stay sure she
can't. These fools come. Oh Lord of mercy. Oh god, everybody put
let's their get out the way. Everybody
why
get
didn't
out the
we
way.
Get invited to the Christmas party? We're trying to have a holly jolly time, okay? Oh goodness, but
no, they gonna send you. They gonna send you the fake one, the one with just you and the janitor. Everybody else at the hotel somewhere else.
You trying to do pink elephant? You and your man just keep stealing from each other. This my gift, that's my gift. Definitely everybody's got their reasons, but I think that's like really good, and that's a really profound answer, and like something like eBay was saying, something that's like well thought out and
right
internally, like you specifically thought through that, like, and people have to like do a better job just in the dating atmosphere and hemisphere of really having that conversation with themselves, especially when it comes to that in their career, because there's a lot of talk about people quitting their jobs and sacrificing it all, and you know how to change this in order to cater, submit, or help a relationship with their significant other, their partner, or whomever they want to call it. So it's always interesting, you know, to see people's thoughts and their thought process about how, why, and you know, how they came to the decisions and why they came to those decisions. So I appreciate that a lot. And thank you for being transparent with us. I think the last thing I was going to ask you was, if we didn't ask it already, why positions where you can travel? Because we have a lot of people in this world who are homebodies and they're happy to stay home. Why travel? Like, do you, do you encourage it and why? Like,
yeah. I personally like it because usually a traveling job indicates that you don't have like a 9-to-5, and I'm not a 9-to-5, like clock in and clock out and do my work in an office and be in a cubicle. Like, that's not my type of work. And as an engineer, if I'm not in the field, that's what I'm doing.
Same.
Yeah. So that's a personal reason why I like to have work where I can travel. And also because, I mean, you're working for a company, you're putting in your all, you can get those benefits of traveling. Like, for example, when I travel to a site like in Crest Hill, Illinois, like, where is that? Nobody knows, nobody cares. It's not a fun place. But instead of going home, I can fly to New York, I can fly to California as my flight home and have like my mini vacation for the weekend and then fly back to the site. So I feel like you can really, if you're smart about it, you can be very strategic and see a lot of the country or a lot of the world that you've always wanted to for very affordable, because at the end of the day, you're not paying for that return flight, because that's the company owes you that return flight home. Home can be anywhere, especially if your role is considered virtual. So you can go literally anywhere within the US, of course. Like, I'm not going to go to Jamaica because that raise some flags, but...
Yeah. The tech guy, we're getting a geolocation outside of the country. We had to shut you down. They are opening up though. Yeah. We were trying to live in Bali and Barbados for all my remote girls who like to get their single braids done. Wink, wink.
But yeah, but I would highly recommend it if you are, you know, adventurous and just want to be in places that you've always want, or just if you just want to see something new and be exposed to different things.
Right.
Yeah. But if you're definitely a homebody and you're like, you're content with your hometown and you're fine with being there all the time, then I wouldn't recommend it, because you will probably hate it because you're always on the go and you're almost never home. But if you're open for exploration, I highly recommend it. And it saves your pockets. And like I said, you get a lot of benefits because you get your flight points, you get your hotel points. If you get cars, like rental cars, you get those points too. So I have like 12 free days sitting in my account right now. So whenever I want to go somewhere on my own time, I can just go pick up a car for as long as I, you know, have those free days, and, you know, I'm good.
And that's good when you are a real functioning adult. It's the Shamirs of the world that are out here banking on Molly's house. I'm just kidding. that's awesome. And I agree with you. I think traveling is always a perk, and it's kind of a cheat code. That's what you really described to us. It's really a cheat code for people to get out and see things and do it on a budget. And if you can get into it while you're younger, or, you know, tap into that. Because if I had that opportunity in my mid-20s, I don't even know where I would be sitting now. And I mean, it sucks that it's touch and go, but I think that when you do meet people who are who really make an impact, or who the universe, because even though I don't want to, universe, I'm not a girl who'd be like, hello, my rising moon is green. I'm not that guy or girl. So I hate that I'm using universe, because I think everybody's like, what's your rising sun? I'm like, girl, the sun? I don't know.
I have no idea.
But I feel like every time I say universe, that's what people think. But no, I think that two things. I think that if somebody is meant to be in your life, they will be. Like, I think that when you meet and touch and go with somebody, I want to say it's the universe. If they're meant, they'll circle back, or they'll start some way, some shape, some form. That's what I mean by the universe. You could say coincidentally, you could say universe, you could say divine intervention, whatever, but they do come back in some way, shape, or form. Now, that's my belief, if they're truly meant for you. But also, if somebody that you meet, you truly value, or, you know, you find depth with, you know, you will just make the sacrifice. You know, I've met a lot of people on planes and trains, and that's what I was gonna say. Meeting people on trains is really interesting. On planes or trains and stuff is interesting, because people with jobs normally and health insurance are on those things. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. Mine is Frontier and Spirit. I can't make no promises for the JetBlue and below, but anything above. With the price of flights being $600, most of them people on now gonna have some insurance and a job. But I think that you know, in engaging with them always, like, I've talked to people who give me new perspectives. I've met people who you want to help out, and like, who are interested in the podcast or even investing. But that came from me traveling and me getting out. And the more you do it, and if you can do it for the low, why not? You know what I'm saying? Why not? And absolutely, I think it's awesome, because not only does it provide experience, but if you are trying to build something on the side, like a lot of people are, this is a great place to market and really meet people and network. So I think that it's an amazing thing. And I'm happy that you were able to come on and chat with us. Yay! Woo, woo, woo.
Thank you for having me. This
is but fun. We ain't done yet. We got one last thing. One last
round.
All right. Thunder.
Thunder round.
You know what comes before thunder? Yes. I hesitated because I almost said lightning.
we can't do lightning. Lightning's too quick.
Lightning is too quick. You know, we ran late. Thunder. And, you know, and it's not thunder. It's ton. T-U-N. Okay. No H. Thunder. You know, there's the tundra. Toyota, and then there's
Honda. Yes, stupid.
So, yes, we're going to do it. It's going to be at max 10 questions, but we're going to be way less than that. Short answer or yes or no answers. eBay, I don't know if you have any or if you want me to shoot first.
Got some.
I bet. We're going to start in 5, 4, 3. Wait, who's starting? Me or you? Okay, I'll start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Favorite place you've traveled to?
Florence.
Ooh, Italy.
Best food you've tried while traveling?
Ooh. Oh, that's tough. I don't know. There's a lot of food.
You can also say skip. You can also say skip. best activity you did while traveling?
Camping on the beach. And I'm not a camping gal, but it was great. It was beautiful.
Let me tell you about the time I tried to do yoga. I almost got kicked out the damn yoga class because I be liking the outdoors, but not that much. But anyways, let me...
You're stupid.
There were iguanas and ants! If you were fighting a Tyrannosaurus Rex, eBay, would you be doing yoga just regularly?
No. I'd be dead. I'd be dead first. So
first of all, I wouldn't be doing an iguana is not a T-Rex.
It was moving pretty swift. I saw it eat a mosquito.
Yeah.
It sounds like a carnivore, but that's just me, though.
Yeah.
Tyrannosaurus Rex, I'd be gone. So I wouldn't be doing anything at the beach. Like,
definitely, I almost got myself removed from class. And it, mind you, it was a class of two. It was just me and Abadana. imagine getting kicked out.
Oh man, it was fun though.
That's stupid. Oh man. Okay, I think that was question number three. Question number four. Best year before you graduated college.
Best year before I graduated college. I would say 2013, 2014, because we had a lot of nice nights out.
All right, y'all. That's what that'll be. It was great talking to you, Aminata. We have been to the dance zone. I am a child of the Most High, okay?
The club.
I believe it at that.
A club. I've never been to any place like Drink Houston here or Zanzibar.
Bible study club is what it is.
I've never been to Cloud 9. Cloud 8, damn it. I don't even drink on the weekdays. And my last question for you, favorite scent at the moment, because you guys should check out her YouTube.
Ooh.
Favorite scent right now, I would have to say right now, because it changes on a daily basis, is Champaka Absolute by Tom Ford, only because it's discontinued and I managed to snag like the last and only bottle like in the world, it feels like, because I can't find it anywhere.
You know, but it's good. I can't even spell that shit. You know it's good because I can't even spell it. Champakalaka.
But disclaimer, my YouTube channel.
Champakalaka.
That's not like somebody's summer camp. Champakalaka. That's not like somebody's summer camp. Y'all said it kids to Camp Chapalaka.
I was at Camp Chapalaka. They was giving out some Tom Ford scented. It was in the nature with the Tyrannosaurus Rex.
With the Tyrannosaurus Rexes.
Oh my God. But to be fair, like, disclaimer, my YouTube channel is dry. I haven't posted in over a year. But, you know, if you're interested, feel free to check it out, but just don't expect anything new to come for a minute.
Yeah,
her next single will be featuring us, so y'all get ready, because I have a sense of smell.
Could you imagine us being on there with her smelling stuff with her? I think
we did
funny.
It once and it was hilarious because I did. Yeah. I think I fake liked half of it, but that oud is still popping. I be using the oud. I be ooding it up, boy.
I'm glad.
So
you
just for next time, you know, like, just send us a link so I can see what Camp Chimichanga is, whatever it's called.
Right,
like,
now.
So
I'm dead.
So Camp Tuscaloosa, baby. Camp Tuscaloosa. It's in Alabama.
Yeah, sure do.
All right, Ibe, your turn with the Tunda round.
Tunda round. Okay. All right. Aminata. Hello. Amina. Sorry. Least favorite country or city that you visited. Pressure's on.
Least favorite country. Can I do a city?
Yeah, you can. I said city or country. Yeah, either one.
Okay. Let me see if there's a country. Well, actually, this is probably going to be very surprising for most people, but Paris.
Yeah, Paris is ghetto. I'm not surprised. Paris is ghetto.
It's
the only thing there is Eiffel Tower.
Ratch. Ratch. And so much scanning. I hated every second of it.
And apparently, I hear people don't be bathing, so you might need that. You might need that perfume out there. Right. People don't be
perfume is not good. PSA, y'all, it's 500 degrees outside. PSA.
There's a
Tuscaloosa by Tom Ford is not gonna cover up your must. Please shower.
There's a reason why a lot of perfume Paris has toilets in it, because it smells like shit. That's why.
In America. No time for experimental, no time for non-alumni, no time for experiments. I want showers and I want them now. That's who I'm up against this year. Hand washing and bathing. All 2022.
Y'all can't be scrubbing them armpits with them stones. Y'all need something with chemicals that might give you cancer, because that shit.
That's
strip
wrong.
Everything
might give you cancer.
That's it,
wrong.
You did, nope. You sure do.
Something with a color with a folic at the end of it, okay? Or ichthyosis.
Them
armpit
hairs go melt off. Like, give me some of that shit.
Something that was on the periodic table, guys.
Yep, sure do.
That is an element. Right. Elements.
Okay. All right. Second question. If you had to pick, like, where you could have one for the rest of your life, would you pick music or film and / television? Which one would you have to get rid of? You have to get rid of one.
Ooh, that's a great question. And I would have to say this is hard. But I will answer it. I will say I will get rid of film.
Wow.
Only because it's hard and it pains me. It pains me because when I look at my day-to-day life, there's always music playing. I always have music on my speaker, on my phone, in the car. I cannot drive. Before I move from park to drive, I have to put on like a specific playlist, find an artist that I'm going to listen to, or a playlist someone sent me, something. Like, I cannot move in silence. I need music in my ears all the time.
That's true.
So,
but technically, like movies and TVs, they have soundtracks and they have things that you can still hear music and still watch things on there. But I know what you mean. But when you're driving and you're on your day to day, you don't have TV on. You don't have like films and stuff on. So it makes sense. And I love music.
And I do have on my playlist. I do have film soundtracks, which is sometimes weird when I have it on like shuffle.
Right.
And like Mulan comes on and people are looking at me like,
yeah, man. Yep, sure.
Exactly.
Listen, a world without Nollywood is not a world for me. Good night. That's all I'm going to say. If I can't see that wig sliding, I'm not riding.
I think that's going to be your campaign. Whenever you're running for president,
if that wig ain't sliding, we ain't riding. I ain't riding for it.
There you go. That's how you know. That's how you know.
In the trade market.
I love it. Okay.
Put that on a shirt.
Would you rather a really nice vacation or a really wonderful meal?
I say vacation.
Okay.
Yeah, that's an easy one, vacation.
Mm-hmm. Got you. Okay, vacation. You might get some good food out there too. Vacation.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay, then I have another one. What advice would you give to your younger self? I'm pulling a Stacia. Sorry.
I thought these were supposed to be like yes or no, one answer, one word questions.
I said it's slow down. Okay.
And
you can ask her one question. Stop. You know, that could be the answer. Like,
that's true. That's
bathe.
True.
Like, don't be like Parisians.
Yeah,
you know?
You're right. I think something I would tell myself is trust your gut. Because I feel like I've been put in so many situations where I've doubted my gut or I didn't trust my instinct. And then it just came around so hard. Freaking knocked me out.
See,
you went on
a date with Shakir, and it had never been the same since. Like, you went on that date with Shakir.
You should trust in my gut.
You should trust your gut. Shakir ain't it. I'm just playing. Yeah. All right. The last one here.
Gut, trust your instinct.
Mm-hmm. The last one here. Grits with sugar or grits with salt and butter? Savory grits or sweet grits?
Ooh.
I'm judging you. I'm judging you.
Oh Lord, now I'm scared. I would say now that I am an adult, savory.
It's the shots fired. What you say?
Savory. Savory. Good. Okay, you picked the right one. But I'm mad that you said now that you're an adult. So that means you.
I know
the
that was a
shot younger.
For me.
That's facts.
See.
But then I grew up. You know, my taste buds became sophisticated.
See.
And then I learned the ways of savory grits.
Come on,
the porter, y'all. The porter. See, she got the flyer bus, deport her.
She got the flyer bus so she could come back.
Get out.
Oh, Lord. Oh, man.
All the way right now. Savory, for sure.
Oh, and I have one more question.
Okay.
So, what's it called?
a flight. You could you could fly everywhere you want to in the world, but you have you only have the option of using Spirit Airlines for like all your flights, right? Or you're only allowed one trip every 2 years, and you can use any airlines that you want. But you have a limitation. But you have a limitation on like.
She said, "Listen, how you start off."
Go ahead. I forgot to give the little caveat for the second part. Sorry. Go ahead.
Wait. What was the caveat? I have limitations on what?
So, like in the second one, you can every 2 years you can fly any where you want to, but there's a limitation on where you can go. Like you're not allowed. You can't go everywhere. So.
Okay. That still makes my answer very easy. I would choose the second option because I would not subject myself.
Come on now. Think about your luggage.
Exactly. Why do I have to pay for a backpack? A carry-on? Like, no, thank you. I'm not about to put myself on a Spirit Airlines and leave out with a black eye. No, thank you. I'm not going to my vacation.
You got to know how to pack and fight.
And that black eye is going to be from the staff.
Exactly.
Exactly.
How will I
explain myself? Right. I'm on a beach enjoying my life somewhere, and then someone's like, wow, your face, what happened?
Never flows in airlines,
but I just assume that everyone's like pedaling, and if you stop, like you go just crash. Like, I just assume like people are like just pedaling.
There's no gas, just energy.
Y'all can't stop. We gonna die. Like, I don't know why.
I take a trip.
I've never flown a Spirit. Like you gonna be a Spirit for real. Flying on that shit, you gonna die.
Anybody who has real luggage to carry on, like you can't. We talked about this last episode. I was like, if your goal is just to wear your same pair of drawers and pack half a backpack of shit, cool, you can do that. But for the rest of us who need 2 weeks worth of clothes for a 1 day trip, baby, I will be down at the other terminals, and it's just a personal problem that
you're gonna have to just wear all your clothes. Like everybody, you're gonna just have to layer up.
And then they're gonna try to have a rule talking about some why you need an extended seat belt. Because bitch, I'm wearing layers. You know why I need that seat belt extension. You know it. They're gonna say, well, you need to buy two seats. I'm gonna say, first of all, this seat ain't really good for one. It ain't good for half a person. So because if I wanted to sit on cardboard box, I could have went under a bridge. But see, that's why I don't fly on that airline, because
Yeah. I mean, also with vacation, like the flight is part of the experience, you know? I want to be able to get on a flight comfortably, order unlimited glasses or bottles of wine.
Right.
I want to be, you know, cool, and I want a blanket. I want some headphones, you know?
Right.
I want the whole deal. I don't want to go in there and get, you know,
could you imagine
there's a chance that I might get knocked out, you know?
Yeah. Could you imagine a flight all the way to Nigeria on Spirit? Oh, Lord, Jesus.
I would die. I would die.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I'm saying it goes everywhere in the world.
Not anymore. Yeah. JetBlue doesn't have them stopping in Boston.
I'm glad. That was great. No, that's all I have for you. Thank you for entertaining that nonsense.
Thank you so much, Amina.
That was fun. That was fun.
/ everybody's favorite engineer and board member. Okay.
The engineer with
the
two E's.
The illustrious engineer. And shout outs to TSU and shout outs to the Zon, even though they're making crazy bank on everybody, because I know I'm getting on there tonight.
Right.
And shout outs to you just for coming through. And actually, I think you are our first guest of this season. So
woo woo!
I really appreciate you.
You can drop your handle if you want the girls to follow you or just to see what you're about for IG.
Yeah. IG is at amina.dico, amina.dico. Also, I am not, you know, a regular content creator, but when I do post, I feel like they are meaningful. So,
Shakir, if you're out there, shoot your shot.
I'm waiting. I'm still, you know,
She's waiting on Shakir.
It doesn't have to be a Shakir. It could be a Bernard with a hefty bank account. Look, so I don't have to work. You know, I can still travel.
The thing is, Shakir is an ambiguous thing. He could be a white Middle Eastern. He could be black. He could be every, you know, Shakir. There are Hispanic Shakirs. Like, I just kind of left them open. Yeah. You know, Shakira's ambiguous, you know.
Okay. You know? Well, while y'all fight with Shakira, hey, Winston, it's me.
Oh, she gonna steal your man. Oh, shit.
Y'all got hey, Winston. She didn't send the wings, but I will.
She's sliding the DMs right now.
Click. That's me typing. Hey, Winston, my boy. But no, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you all for listening. Hopefully you have gotten some insight on what it is to travel, especially from a female's perspective, from the great Amina. And make sure you hit us up at, what are we at? Don't_trip_podcast on IG. Yep. We also have a Twitter, but ain't nobody been there in a minute. But make sure y'all pull up on us. And if we don't see you or hear from you, or you don't hear from us, because we low-key are our monthly podcast, we will chat with you next time we see you. Other than that, we out. Deuces. You know, did you hear about the time Bobby Shmurda made a song for Hoochie Daddies?
Hoochie Daddy shorts. There you go.
Hoochie Daddy. Winston Duke would look good as some Hoochie Daddies.
Have you seen his Instagram? I'm pretty sure he has photos.
Of course. Hoochie Daddy, apparently, levels.
This is my Hoochie exit. Daddy. Okay. Thank you.
You don't be Hoochie Daddy on eBay? I'm done. There's levels to Hoochie Daddying.
I'm not trying to be thinking about Baku's thighs, okay?
I mean, it's not a bad view.
Leg day matters. In your level of hoochie daddying, are you stepfather, father, or grandfather? And I feel like that's the baby.
Hoochie daddy.
Once again, Bobby Shmurda.
Hoochie daddy. You ain't nothing but a hoochie daddy.
Hooray, hoochie daddy. But then after that part, I don't know. He'd be like, no.